Hi, nice to have you back with us on this Saturday night. Bruce Jenkins joins us from the San Francisco Chronicle. Bruce, how are you? How are things going?
Pretty well, Marty. No complaints, and in that sense, I feel extremely lucky. How are you doing?
Good, good. Very good. The weather here is good, and my feeling is that the train has left the station, and I think we're going to have, I think in some form, we are going to have baseball. And Ann Killian has wrote beautiful articles all week, and I know you contributed to some as well. But with all the challenges ahead, I think we are going to have baseball.
Yeah, well, they're definitely going to try, and that's invigorating. They're putting so much effort into it, and there's so many things that they need to cover. But, you know, until they say that it's just not going to work, at which point I wouldn't be totally surprised. I'm very much behind, you know, the mission that they're on, and it'll be awfully good if it actually happens.
Well, what about the canned noise? Where do you stand on that?
Well, that's pretty tough. I mean, what if somebody gets a hold of it and puts like a Jerry Seinfeld laugh track on it when a guy makes an error? it could go really wrong. The only way I could see it is if you just sort of have a sustained, I'm against it. I can't think of any.
There's no way.
I'm against it. And then here's the main reason I'm against it, is that the one beauty of watching games with no fans when you're sitting at home is that you're going to be able to hear an awful lot. You're going to hear the crack of the bat. You're going to hear balls hitting gloves. You know, you're going to hear they might mic up the players, which I don't think would be such a bad idea, although there'd be a little salty language. And you're really going to be able to hear the game, which is a big plus, and I think that's going to sustain it. Now, you can hear it with these broadcasts of the Korean baseball organization, but the difference there is that you don't know really who anybody is. And they're not mic'd up really either, but the familiarity plus the fact that you can hear the game and kind of feel it in a way is going to be a huge factor in trying to get past the fact that there's nobody there.
Well, I think they're going to have cutouts of people. So I think Scott Osler said he wants to see Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the album of.
Yeah, well, you know, leave it to Osler to come up with something brilliant like that. But you know, I'm not really in favor of cardboard people in the stands, even if they are, you know, for the benefit of Mr. Kite.
Well, yeah, I think we're going to have baseball. I think they are going to try, and I know the health protocols came out today. We're going to talk about them more during the show. You know, you can't hug anybody. You can't give a high five. You got to wear. There's so many rules that you forget about the baseball game. What about the game? So we'll see what happens. But each week we get more action, and that I think that's the important thing. You've had a very interesting week, and you have something going that's absolutely terrific, and that is with the Chronicle. You've got an election going on of the all-time all-star teams of Northern California versus Southern California players, and then you're going to play APBA baseball and play a game. I voted, by the way. I did vote, and I didn't vote for all the leaders, I will tell you that.
I wouldn't suspect that you would. I mean, with your knowledge of the game,
right.
I mean, right now, you know, I'm not sure Harry Hyland's going to make the Northern California club hitting over 400.
I didn't bring up the ballot, but believe me, I had people on there that I don't think are going to be playing. But how is this going? How did this come about?
Tell us
about it, because people have a few more days to vote, don't they?
Yeah, they have until through tomorrow night. But first of all, between the North and the South, we've had 100,000 votes.
Wow.
I mean, people are really into this. I mean, this started basically with just me and the APBA rolling dice with the cards and growing a little bit weary of playing contemporary teams. You know, I mean, I've had enough of this. I love playing the Giants against the Dodgers, but I'm tired of William Van Landingham. Give me something else. And I got really deep into having the greatest players of all time going all the way back to 1900. Not just for the California, but all over the country. And I broke it up into all the states, all the regions, based on where they grew up. Not necessarily where they were born, but where they grew up. which takes a little biographical research, actually a lot. I spent like 20 years researching this in, you know, in free time, not all the time. And I came up with these rosters, as many, all the significant players, I thought, going back to 1900, within reason. You can't put everybody in there because they would never make this team. But and again, I got the cards from APBA in their specific seasons that I wanted. I wanted everybody in his best year. So next thing you know, I've got Ted Williams hitting 406, you know, against Tom Seaver of the Mets in the early 70s, et cetera, et cetera. I've got Barry Bonds and Ricky Henderson on my Northern California team, and I've got Duke Snider and Ted and you know, Reggie Smith, Dusty Baker, good Lord, Ralph Kiner, Walter Johnson on my Southern California team. This was just for me. And I would play, sometimes I'd say, hey, you want to play Texas against my Northern California team? This is really fun. And that was it. And I said to John Shea, I said, hey, John, what if you and I played North against South, and one of us write it up in the Chronicle, and it'd be one of these nice little stories that we have, you know, to fill the bill and get people's mind off the pandemic. And he said, yeah, absolutely. But the word got up to the Chronicle higher ups, and they thought, well, let's not limit it to this. Let's have people vote on who the team should be. And I said, absolutely. And then they thought, why not get the L.A. Times involved and have them handle the Southern California end and have the L.A. people vote for that team? I'm thinking, yeah, okay. Then one of the L.A. Times guys contacts the APBA company and finds out that you can play this thing online. And when we do play it, which is May 26th, the best of seven series, anyone in the world can watch this. With a little zoom on my ugly mug in one corner and Houston Mitchell, the LA Times, in the other, managing these teams. Meanwhile, we've got Gabe Kapler and Dave Roberts picking the starting lineups on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And it's just, this thing has just taken off in a fantastic way. And I'm just so happy that it's gone from just a guy, which is me, to you know, everybody, all these people are involved, 100,000 votes, and it's going to be really fun. We're going to have a best of seven series. It's going to be online, and when it's all over, we're going to have a podcast wrapping up the how it went, and John Miller is going to supply some of the highlights. We're going to let him know what happened, and he's going to spice it up as only he can. So it's very cool.
This is terrific. Now, May 26th, it starts. Now, so there'll be a link that'll be published by the Chronicle or someplace?
Oh, yeah. We'll let you know. And I think they want to get the whole best of seven done in one night, which sounds kind of ridiculous. But for guys like Houston and myself who played APBA for years, you can really get a game done in 15 minutes. And we don't want to hurry it up, and we won't. But, we can probably play the whole thing in one sitting, which is probably the best way to go. I mean, you can't expect people to tune in seven nights in a row or whatever it is in this thing.
I would go the other way. I say one day at a time.
That's what I said, Marty. Because then there's a little suspense. Well, you really going to start Randy Johnson, or you know, about Mike Norris here? You might want the right hander. Are you going to bench? You going to bench Ricky after going 0-for-4 with an error and all this stuff? And but they said no. It's better to do it all at once. So it is feasible. It's not like we're going to have seven, you know, 90-minute games back to back. So okay. But I hear you on that.
Yeah, no, I would have done it each day, and it would have been like getting ready for the next World Series game.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, I would have been all over that. Now, are you going to be rolling dice, or is this computer generated?
No, I've been up there checking out the way it's played, and you know, there's a diamond there, and all the players are named by position, and you just hit a button saying, here's the pitch, and it tells you what happened. So there's no dice, which to me... literally no dice, Marty. It takes a little bit of a, you know, there's a drama to rolling the dice. I mean, hell, anybody in Vegas knows that. I mean, there's an art to it. There's a science to it. There's a romance to it. And we don't have that. So we lose that angle, which to me is a rough one. But the fact that everybody can be part of it kind of overrides that.
Well, I mean, this is terrific. Now, do you have, I mean, I don't know if you have it at your fingertips, but I know after I voted, it showed percentage-wise who the leaders were. Do you have that?
I do have it, yeah.
Could you tell us who the leaders are in Northern California for positions?
Yeah, right now the outfield's looking like Joe DiMaggio, Ricky Henderson, and Barry Bonds. And if you want to, again, this is where they grew up. Ricky was born in Illinois, but you know he's an East Bay guy and on the Northern California team. That's the whole basis of this. So if you decide that you only want either Henderson or Bonds in left field, then one of them instantly becomes a DH, and Frank Robinson becomes the right fielder.
Not bad.
Yeah, and then behind them you've got Lefty O'Doul hitting .398, Aaron Judge hitting 52 homers, Harry Heilman hitting 400-something, Jackie Jensen, oh my God, all the way through.
He goes back to 1900. I voted for Jackie Jensen.
And of course we've got him. Everybody's in his best year, so it's 58, and he's winning the MVP.
Right, 112 first base, RBI, it's gonna be, something like that.
Yeah. First base is going to be Stargell, backed by Keith Hernandez. Can't argue with that. And interestingly, they were co-MVPs in 79. Second base is clearly Joe Morgan, backed by Tony Lazzari, maybe a little Dustin Pedroia in there. And if you want to play Billy Martin, in case a fight breaks out, you can throw him in there from 1953. Shortstop, I've been starting Joe Cronin in my games because of his numbers from 1930, but Troy Tulowitzki, who is an unbelievable modern day player, especially when he was in his prime. We got him in 2010 with the Rockies. You know, he was ridiculous. So he's going to be the shortstop, and Carney Lansford has moved ahead of Ken Caminiti to start at third. This is Lansford winning the batting title with the 81 Red Sox, and I do like that because I think Caminiti's got bigger numbers, but he was such a blatant steroid guy. You know, the Sports Illustrated article detailing, you know, just the horrors of his deep involvement in performance-enhancing drugs. He's kind of a questionable character in a way. And so it looks like Carney Lansford at third. Ernie Lombardi is running away with the catcher, of course, as it should, for the 1938 Reds, winning the batting title with less than zero speed. And the pitching staff, the starters are looking like Randy Johnson with Arizona, Tom Seaver with the Mets, Dave Stewart with the A's. We might stop at three because that's the way it was for so long in the World Series, and the way I like it, you can pitch games 1, 4, and 7. But if we decide on four starters, it's going to be probably Lefty Gomez. And out of the pen, we got Eckersley and Dave Rigetti and Tug McGraw.
Wow.
So that's not a bad club.
Well, it just shows you what Northern California is all about when it comes
to
baseball.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does show you the beauty of the Oaks and the Seals and the Solons, like we talked about, and, the Mission Reds and what Bay Area baseball was all about. Lefty Gomez from Hercules, he'd have to come by boat to Sausalito to then come to San Francisco to pitch on a Sunday.
Yeah. Somebody reminded me that I've on my roster, the options, I've got four guys who played at San Francisco's old Sacred Heart High School, between Joe Cronin, Harry Heilman, Jim Gentile, and Dolph Camilli. I mean, that's just from one high school. And, of course, you could put a whole bunch of Italian guys from the North Beach, so it's just cool. It's great.
I voted for Jim Gentile.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. come on, 1961, 46,
that's right.
And 141, I think.
Yeah, that's the year we've got him. Why not?
Yeah, that was good. Now, all right, last question on this. And what's today? Today is the 16th. So we'll be on next weekend, and you're going to play after next weekend.
Yeah.
So
we're
going to
play on. We're going to play on Tuesday the 26th.
Yeah, so we could talk about
we'll
it
people,
next.
Yeah. We'll let people know how to get online and watch this thing.
Okay, very good. Now, just to be clear, do you do anything to manage the game? Like, can you hit and run?
Oh, yeah.
Totally. You do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kapler and Dave Roberts are going to decide the opener lineups. But at that point, as soon as somebody comes up, if there's somebody on base, you have the option to sacrifice, to hit and run. You can pull a guy for defensive reasons at any time, pull a pitcher, use a pinch hitter. It's only right. I mean, it really is like managing a real game. You can do all those things. I mean, you can't like put the wheel play on or something like stuff like that.
All right, but let's see if you bunt early in the game or if you walk the eight hit. I guess are you using a DH? I hate to say this, are you?
Well, I hate to say it. I hate to say it that we are using a DH. But the reason is that there's so many. When you think about guys like Willie McGee and Aaron Judge and Vada Pinson on the bench, Bill Buckner, et cetera, you want to get these guys in somehow. The star power is just overwhelming. And, Freddie Lynn, Dusty Baker, Reggie Smith, on and on. So that gives you another name to put in there. And, I like that angle of it. I certainly don't like the idea of a DH, but here I think it works.
Bruce, if someone wanted to vote now, how would they vote? Where do they go to do it?
Well, the best way to do it is to call up, to go on the Chronicle website, where it shows the article that I wrote. If you can't find it, go to the pieces that I've written, and, where it says, what would it be like? I'm calling it up right now. What would it be like if these teams could play? It's called NorCal's All-Time Greats versus Southern Cal's Who Wins. You call that up under my icon, and it tells you how to vote. And it also tells you how to vote for the Southern California team if you want to, which is really a hoot. I mean, good Lord, that team is ridiculously loaded as well. Are you going to vote for those guys too?
I think you have to.
You're Marty Lurie, for God's sake.
I think I stopped at the Northern. All right. I got so excited about Jim Gentile and Jackie Jensen. I said, no one's voting for these people.
You get that settled, you'll have a blast with this Southern California team. I mean, one interesting thing about the way that I did it is it's not necessarily where you were born, but, where you grew up, where you learned the game, where you went to high school. That's what it's all about. That's why Frank Robinson and Joe Morgan and Ricky are on the Northern California team. They weren't born in California, but, by God, they're Northern California team players. And on the South, Walter Johnson, Marty, we grew up on a farm in Kansas where I don't think he probably didn't do anything more but throw a ball up against a barn. But he moved to Orange County when he was 14 and started playing against kids who could play the game and went to Fullerton High School. So he's all of a sudden he's in your Southern California rotation, and you start him ahead of Jim Palmer and Don Drysdale, just for starters.
Mm. Today's Palmer's birthday, just since you happened to mention it.
Okay.
Yep.
Scottsdale, Arizona kid.
Yep, 3 2/3, his first game, and a home run off Jim Boughton. How about that? 19 years old.
I learned that from Tim Kirchen. I didn't know it was off Boughton, but Kirchen had a great thing about Palmer today about how he was so adamant about never giving up a grand slam. And by the way, he never did. That he would actually sort of not intentionally, but kind of walk a guy, even with the bases loaded, because he figured, I'll get the next guy. I'm certain not going to give up four runs here.
Yeah, great pitcher. He's one of the great storytellers. I always say it's him, Ray Fossey, and Ken Harrelson. Those are the three great storytellers. Another thing today, and I sent you a little clip. Someone sent me an article on Billy Martin, but today would have been his 92nd birthday, and a very compelling argument about the Hall of Fame. Why is Billy Martin not in the Hall of Fame? How did this happen? Well, how did this slip through the cracks here?
Well, he lost all the Jewish guys, for one thing.
Yeah.
Some of his comments,
he had that side to him. Yes, he did.
Ask Lowell Cohen about that. And he was so irascible and such a nasty guy in some cases. So some of the writers who work with him on a daily basis just wrote him off. Said, screw you, okay? I'm not going to vote for you. I don't care what you did. Now, for me, I covered him as well, but I was unconditionally loved Billy Martin. And, of course, he did all those things, and he got in fights, and he insulted people. But I've always, my dad worked for Frank Sinatra, Marty, and my dad was a talent worshiper, and I sort of got that from him. And the talent's always been the biggest thing for me. And the way Billy turned the Twins, the Tigers, Texas, the A's, and even the Yankees going from downtrodden to a winning team time after time, it's not an accident that his managerial genius just stands out in a glowing manner. And, you know, obviously not in as a player, but, you know, I looked it up, Marty. This guy played in 28 World Series games, hit 333, and in the 53 series, he went 12 for 24. He hit 500 and made like a game-saving catch. He was a,
he was a big player,
just a player. He was a player in life on the field. And I think he just, you know, for me, he's in. I understand the resistance, but for me, he's definitely in.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, putting the anti-Semitic side of, you know, I'm sure Lowell's right about him.
Yeah.
But, you know, but you look at, you can't tell, Leonard Copito, he said, can you tell the story of his era of baseball without naming him? And I don't think you can.
That's right. And, you know, the thing about Billy is that I'm sure there were a lot of Jewish guys who he considered confidants and friends and everything else. But he would just pop off, you know, like, if that's an error, I'm a Chinese aviator. You know, you lose a lot of people there, okay?
Yeah. But turning around franchise, I don't know if, you know, Leo DeRocher, how many World Series did he win? I mean, you know.
Yeah, so. I mean, they talk about, you know, is Billy Beane getting to get in the Hall of Fame? Well, you know, he's a hell of a executive, but they haven't won a damn thing.
Yeah.
And Billy Martin consistently getting teams into the playoffs against the odds, and every one of them a great story.
Mm. Hey, you wrote something very nice about Lowell Cohn's new book today.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to this because I've known Lowell very well. When he came onto the Chronicle, it was right when I started covering the World Series, and we were sending columnists and beat writers to the World Series. So I got a chance to be with Lowell at one World Series after another, as many in a row, and spend some time with him after the games. And as I mentioned, we're so different as columnists. I've always been more of an observer, and I'm not you know, terribly confrontational and getting into personal stuff and just completely undressing somebody for their flaws of humanity. But, you know, Lowell was able to do that in a manner that was plausible. But not only that, he didn't do it out of, like, hatred and, you know, hiding behind, you know, some kind of shield where he wouldn't ever have to face anyone. He would get right in there with these people after the fact. And they'd get to know him, and they go, geez, this guy's got a lot of compassion, and he cares, and he loves the game, and this is what he thought. And the next thing you know, they're big fans of his. You know, it's a really, really hard road to walk. I could never conceive of doing that the way that I approached column writing. And his book is just one story after another about the inside of all these columns that he's written and the people that he interviewed, and, you know, all across the scope of Bay Area sports. And it's, you know, for a memoir, it's like friggin' fresh. You know, I mean, it's like, oh my God, you know. But he's a sweetheart of a guy, as you know.
Yeah, he's been very dear to me for many years, and has written nice articles about me, very, very considerate. Mm-hmm. And when I started, and some of the things I've done, and yeah, we have our Brooklyn baseball roots together. So
yes, that's so great.
I thought what you wrote was very, very sweet about his book. Very good. It was very good.
Yeah. Hey, how about the pages look like something? What is it? The Dead Sea Scrolls or something? It's like they have these. I don't know what you call it, but they're like parchment paper.
Okay.
It's wonderful. Have you seen them? Do you have the copy of the actual? Yeah.
No, you're gonna have to send me. You're gonna have to send me yours.
Yeah. Well, I bought it. I John Shea and Chris Haft on Mike Murphy. I'm buying these books, so you got to support the people.
Yeah.
And it just showed up the other day, and I plowed through it real quick. But it's like a work of art without even get to the pages or get to the words.
Well, I'll tell you, isn't it, you know, without baseball, we still have baseball. Isn't it funny? We can have our half-hour discussion. I can have Juan Rodas on with Lasky and do a show for five hours. And with no baseball, there's just something about it that lends itself to talking.
Excuse me. Yeah, I started up a thing where we were asking fans, what's the greatest game you attended? What's the greatest memory you have of attending a game? And this project actually kicks off in tomorrow's Chronicle, I think. It might even be online right now. And they've been coming in just by the dozens. It's so great. And people talking about the Dervecki game, the Brian Johnson game, the Joe Morgan game, or games you couldn't remember, you know, or, you know, stuff that when they're listening to radio with their dad, and just one great baseball memory after another, and other sports as well. But baseball dominates it, as you would imagine. And it's just people are so – they can't wait to recall these things right now, because it just makes them feel so good about what the game has meant to them, and then they know that it's going to come back at some point. If the game were dying and we're never going to come back, we know we'd all be, you know, basket cases. But and they're sharing these memories with everyone, and it's a really nice feature we're going to have, I think, probably once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Everyone has a baseball story. And Leonard Coppett told me this in 1996 when I started, and he said, Take the time to get the oral history from people, and that's what I've done for 25 years.
Yeah, oh my goodness, yeah.
Your favorite baseball moment, and whether it's been umpires, owners, managers, players, fans, you name it, I've got them. And everybody has a baseball story.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you, your library is going to be in Cooperstown. I mean, that's just, it's like the Smithsonian, you know.
Well,
whatever they have in Iraq and Iran, it should be over there, too.
Hey, so memories of the game, I did memories of the game. They are, I've got about 300 of them in Cooperstown.
Oh, my God.
In the library there, when Dale Petrosky was the president, and those folks, and I donated everything in the early years, so it's all there. But speaking of interviews, and we can end on this one, Bob Watson passed away this week, and Bruce, you know, coming up later in the show, Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions will be on. But, you know, you look at his OPS plus 139, and the guy hit in the Astrodome. Bob Watson was a hitter and a sweet guy, and I have a nice 4 or 5 minute interview I'm going to play later on with him.
Very good. Yeah, you know, coming from Southern California, I was always familiar with the guys coming out of Centennial High and Compton, and you know, just these tremendous African-American players. The well dried up, unfortunately, but he was one of those guys. And when he stepped into the batter's box, if you were the pitcher, you're immediately thinking, now, what the hell am I going to do here? Because he wasn't coming out of his shoes, you know, trying to hit the ball to Cuba. You know, he was a smart hitter. He had an idea what he was going to do against you. Maybe where he was going to put the ball, whether it was going to be maybe go up the alley in right center or dead pull you. His stats tell the story, but he was just a badass guy. And as you say, a wonderful man as well. And it's a big loss for baseball. And it makes you realize the standards of the Hall of Fame are so strict, and I think it's great that they are. You know, but you think about people like Jeff Kent or Bob Watson, always sort of, you know, he's on the outside of this thing. And in Watson's case, I don't think he'll ever get in. But if you saw him play, my goodness, I mean, it's like, what else would you want from a hitter?
Tough hitter.
Yeah.
Tough hitter. Yeah, so that was it. So, all right. Hey, great to talk with you, and I will vote in the L.A., for the Southern California part, and I'm looking forward to seeing...
Let's talk about that next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this works out. I really am. I know how that game is played. I had that and Stratomatic, so I know the boards. And,
good.
You know, you had six boards, and you had to move them around, and the dice and the whole thing. So it's a great way to learn baseball, and I'm glad that it's back and we can talk about it. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. They actually have a thing on the boards where if there's runners at first and third and 23 comes up, the game's called on account of rain. Okay. We'll be back. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Right. I love it. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, be well, and we'll chat
too,
next week. All right.
Sounds great, man. Talk to you then.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure.